This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Second and goal to go from the two. Toss sweep right for James White. Cuts it under the right arm. Cuts it upfield. Driving forward. Diving to the goal line. Touchdown. And a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Led by the greatest quarterback.
Look at Brady.
In Super Bowl and NFL annals.
One more ring.
James White.
Wow, James White for that go-ahead touchdown in overtime. Hi, everybody. It is the Patriots beating the Falcons 34-28. Thanks to Westwood One for that call. And Tom Brady led the Patriots to the biggest comeback ever in Super Bowl history. So he's got five rings, 43 of 62, 466 yards, a couple of TDs. It was a real heart pumper, that's for sure. And, you know, the Patriots game got off to a horrible, horrible start. The running game, LeGarrette Blount, fumbled early in the second quarter. The Falcons were just running up the score on the Patriots. And it looked like the MVP of the league, Matt Ryan, was destined to win his first Super Bowl and perhaps be the MVP of the Super Bowl and the league. But it all fell apart for them as the Patriots had this incredible comeback in Super Bowl 51. And in New England, they're talking about as the Patriots win the greatest in Boston history. And it is a comeback for the ages with the Pats beating the Falcons in what is a heart-pounding heart attack Super Bowl. There's no question about it. It's an improbable comeback, but it is a comeback, and it is the biggest now period in the history of the Super Bowl. So how about that? Talk about the drive for five, the revenge tour, and every other slogan that Patriot fans talked about. The daydream of receiving the Lombardi Trophy from Roger Goodell, who abbreviated Brady's season by four games, it happened. And, man, oh man, sweet. I think incredibly sweet. I had to start the show off this way because it was thrilling to watch this edge of your seat kind of action. Graham in Mississippi gets a first crack at this. Hey, Graham, what'd you think of that Super Bowl?
What I think? Kind of boring, you know. Is really the last, what, about the last 6-7 minutes? That was the interesting part.
We're awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I
you
think
know,
so too. Grim.
But, you know, I'm an AFC.
Awesome.
You know, I'm fighting for the underdog, the AFC, anyhow. I always fight for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I really, you know, I've been so busy working, Kate. I couldn't call in on them now the scores or
yay.
Nothing. Yay! You
know? That's okay. Busy working is good.
And really, there's nothing to complain about with Trump. You know, I got no complaints. Now, that college riot, they need to all go to the military. You know, he just needs to appoint a federal judge there in Oakley, you know, and send them all to the military, you know, straighten them up. They want to really find out what freedom of speech means. Fight for our country. But, yeah, that the game, I've never really had anything against Brady. I've more or less had the thing the way they tried to put him up on a pedestal, Kate. That's what upset me is everybody, well, they all do that. And when I first started watching it, I said, oh, boy, here comes Adele. He's getting his wish. You know, and I was worried about, you know, whether he was paying off, or not Adele, I'm sorry, You did see the secret handshake between him and
Goodell.
Yeah. That's why mm-hmm. I get them too confused. I thought, you know, that was kind of sad. And, of course, he got booed pretty bad.
He got booed off the stage. Yeah.
Well, they had a woman even back in the back, you know, cover her hands. Boo! You know, behind him on the camera shot. It's just so loud. But, you know, I think it's kind of warranted because, like I said before, I believe a quarterback needs to have his type of ammunition. And that deflate gate, that was a joke. Really, it was.
Yeah, deflate gate was a joke. Yeah.
Because the extreme differences in temperature, it, you know, they didn't want to admit to it, but way down the road after they announced this suspension, they still said, well, you know, it probably was because of the extreme exchanges in the temperatures, the balls automatically deflated.
And yeah.
I truly believe that's what it was.
They didn't have any hardcore proof in the Wells report, so it was insane how, in the beginning, it was like, oh, did they cheat again? I remember Spygate, and I was right there. I get it. But you're right. There's no question with the measuring, the temperatures, all that. I agree.
The boss does never want to admit he's wrong.
Right. Of course. Exactly. Yeah. Who does?
Well, you know, because there's a lot of other people there in the NFL, you know, underneath him that had to do the investigation. It's like, you know, well, you know, we really don't want to, if we're the officials, we don't want to admit we're wrong. But
right.
But it was a good game, if you ask me. I mean, first time overtime in the history, a lot of records broke. But I tell you what I really enjoyed was the Walter Payton Hall of Fame. There's two men that deserve their pat on the back.
No kidding. The Hall of Fame, the Hall of Famers.
Yes, Eli and Jefferson or Jeffries, or I can't remember his last name.
You're having a hard time remembering names. That's not like you today. Well, Terrell Davis, LaDainian Tomlinson, Jerry Jones, Kurt Warner. They were all part of this. Morton Anderson. They were all part of this class.
Oh yeah. I seen all the class. I remember that. I thought it was kind of weird when he presented the trophies to both of the award winners. He's wearing a purple suit. I thought that was kind of off the wall. But I haven't watched much, you know, but I caught the end of this. I'm doing labor work, girl. I'm cutting brush. Stuff like
that. You must be exhausted.
Yeah, you know, it's just work, but, you know, I'm happy to be back at it, even though I'm almost 50.
Hey, that's okay. Your work is work. Like you said, just make sure you get your rest in between.
Well, this is, you know, it's available. It's becoming more and more available.
Right.
And, like, you know, what was it, 18? I don't get these Democrats. I just don't know where they're thinking. I just don't get it, Kate. I mean, nothing that he signed was bad. And how is it a violation of the Constitution when he wants to suspend immigrants coming in for a period of his 100-day period until he can get everything organized?
Right, and that's where the rub lies, is people don't even realize there was a number, thank you, Grim, please take care of yourself, attached to it. The number that was attached to it, the 120 days, that was forgotten. Stay with us.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah! No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
In a crisis, your number one need is food, but not just any food. Experts say everyone needs to have non-perishable, good for 25 years, survival food on hand in case of an emergency. Well, right now, in what is truly an unprecedented move, 72-hour survival food kits are being given away to listeners while supplies last. Survival food is more important today than ever before, explains Frank Bates, a spokesman for the company. Natural disasters, terrorist attacks, and other threats can make obtaining sufficient food impossible in an emergency. This 72-hour survival kit has 16 servings of delicious food rated for 25 years of storage. It sells to the general public for $27 plus shipping and has been rated 4.5 out of 5 stars by customers who paid full price. But listeners who act quickly can get it free. Just cover $9.95 shipping. Go to freefood2.com right now. Supplies are limited and the program may end at any time. Go to freefood2.com now. That's freefood2.com.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
I used to live in Morro Bay. I lived in this cool place, Morro Bay. Bear with me. I'm going to take you down that road for a second. If you ever go to the central coast of California, I beg you, go to a place called Morro Bay. It has this cool monolith, you know, sticking out in the middle of the water, and the beach is spectacular. And then they have this little area, this dock that runs along, it's not a canal, it's sort of the mouth to the Pacific, and it is one cool place. And having lived there, they had a restaurant where that song reminded me of the kind of music you would hear. You would stumble in anytime between 4, and it was a lounge too, anytime between 4 and midnight, and watch the boats come in, and watch the sea otters, sometimes sea lions, but sea otters would like float by. Oh, sweet. Now, I don't think whoever sang that song you just heard was playing there, but that kind of music was being played there. So how about that? I said that we got a ton of email, as we always do, and in a second we're going to go and check the mailbag. So kudos to all of you. I know some of you download the show, you listen at different times, And that's great. I've heard from many of you saying that you listen when you're on the road, when you listen when you're running in the morning, you listen to part of the show, and then you go to sleep, and then you listen again. And I appreciate all those comments. I appreciate so much, sincerely, all the support for America tonight. And it's nice to see some of these great affiliates that are also jumping on board, and the ones that have been with us forever and stuck with the show for forever. And just once again, thanks for that. So a lot of reaction to Trump, good and bad and kind of mixed. It's so early in his administration, but he is moving fast, at least with these executive orders. Boom, 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 bang. So on that note, let's check the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you. This one is from Barry. Kate, I haven't been able to email you in a while, but rest assured, my dear, I am listening to the show. Sometimes I listen to it live. Sometimes I listen to it by downloading it. And I enjoy your offerings. I will tell you that I think it's great what Trump is doing. I did not really care for him. I reluctantly, I will be honest, voted for him. I am a registered Republican, but I have voted Democratic in my life. And I wasn't crazy about some of the treatment of women, the crudeness, the crassness, the New Yorkery over the top about him. And that's a personal thing, I suppose. But I do have to say, I like the fact that he is acting. We'll see whether that comes back to bite us or not, but there is no slow go in Donald Trump. That is for certain. So it's good to see somebody gets in and they initially react right away, putting their people in place. And I think you've said it, that ultimately is the key. Yeah, that is the key. The key is who's the cabinet? What are they vetting? You know, how they, once they're confirmed, how are they vetting the people underneath them? How are they working? All of that matters. It's incredibly important. All right. How about this one from Paul? Listening to us in Sarasota, Kate, I think that it's interesting to see what's happened with this new administration. It's kind of like throwing a kid from JV into varsity and seeing if they can perform at that level, because Trump, which you can tell he doesn't want to, he wants to be taken seriously, is inexperienced politically speaking. But so what if he's getting stuff done and we're seeing a change in the right direction? Then if he fumbles, stumbles, and trips over his words a little bit and isn't polished and presidential, who cares? The I said I watched the interview you did with David Muir, and in the interview he said something about that. He said, well, I could act presidential, but what I want to do, you know, I'm doing what I need to do. Well, that's getting the things done. So basically saying, forget the pomp and circumstance or all of that. It doesn't matter. I'm just doing what I said I would do. And I think he's comfortable and uncomfortable in that role. I don't think he, you know, Washington is so different. It's Washington's snobby. Washington is about your degree, who you know, are you an intellectual, all that kind of label. Labels are big in Washington. And when you go to Washington, it's not easy to crack that code, because here's a big $5 word for you. It's provincial. If you're not in the club, you're just not in the club, and it doesn't matter how much money you have or what kind of influence. You have to have the right kind of influence. So he is in unfamiliar territory. He's the king of New York and has his New York circles and has lived there forever and built some of the buildings and has buildings with his name on it. It's a whole different way of life just down the road compared to Washington, D.C. Seems silly, doesn't it, right? You're the leader of the free world. Who cares? So I think it gets under his skin a bit about the whole acceptance thing, perhaps, and the thing about the size, because he said something about it's an insult to the people who came and supported him, who liked him, who voted for him, when they're talking about that it was a tiny inauguration crowd or that kind of thing. So he's sensitive to, he's sensitive to that kind of information. I think that's what that's about, and that's D.C. All right, so now this one from John, listening in Washington, and John says, Kate, Mary Tyler Moore, I am younger than Mary Tyler Moore, but I would say I kind of had a crush on Mary Tyler Moore, attractive, sexy woman on TV, the way she talked, that whole thing. I think there were a lot of young boys that really thought Mary Tyler Moore was pretty cool, and I think it's sad that she passed, but 80's not, you know, 80's not a horribly short life. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You think of Betty White, though, who's in her 90s, who was also on that show, and she was on a respirator for, I guess, about a week, and she was in, so she had been hospitalized. She was in grave condition, and then that was it. And I mentioned that she battled so many different things in her life with her health, so that, you know, diabetes especially. But all her family was with her husband, and all the people were around her, and she definitely had fans. Okay, how about this one? This one is from Rob. Kate, Madonna and the Women's March nonsense. I don't begrudge the women the march. I'm saying her behavior at the march. She knows that she's famous. She gets the attention. And then, frankly, she blows it for the women by doing what she did to take away the spotlight from what they were trying to highlight. So I would say shame on Madonna. She didn't do anything to help anybody's cause. Let's put it that way. I said, we talked about that. So let's move on to this one from Madeline, who says, oh, the situation with the dog and the movie. I saw the tape from the television show TMZ, and I was horrified. And I think a lot of people are going to go and see this movie, Kate, and I hope they don't support it. Am I missing something, or what really happened there? Well, I was just talking about the filmmakers defending it. Plus, they had somebody on the set from the Humane Society. And I just got to say, if the Humane Society's on the set and they're saying, oh, none of that happened, I'm going to go with the Humane Society, because they would absolutely, that's why they're there. They're looking over their shoulders. I can't imagine that this dog named Hercules was abused in any way, because they would have shut that down in a second. I mean, that's practically like having PETA sitting there breathing down your back. And the idea is that they edited this to look a certain way, right? But PETA is the one that is calling for a boycott of the film. And they're saying maybe we should never use live animals in films again. Odds and Ends next.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Something shocking just happened in a Coast Guard unit in San Diego. The old guys in the unit have turned the tables and are now destroying the young bucks in head-to-head fitness tests. How is this even possible? Turns out, the old guys in this unit have been part of a special test group for a doctor-formulated Fountain of Youth drink called Patriot Power Greens. Patriot Power Greens has been so effective for many of the older soldiers that it's made their achy joints, stiff muscles, and lack of energy a thing of the past. Previously, this drink was only available to elite military units. But for a limited time, the creator of Patriot Power Greens has set aside a small number of free samples specifically for our conservative friends. All they ask is that you chip in a few bucks to cover shipping. To claim your free samples of Patriot Power Greens, go to greens75.com. That's greens75.com. greens75.com.
There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation.
Charlie Daniels, he's always loved America.
Let me just read a little thing here. The American system of justice must be changed to conform to the rest of the world. Individual rights will have to take a back seat to the collective. Well, you know what the next move's going to be, don't you? It's going to be coming after your gun.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you, it ain't going to set well down my way at all. It ain't going to set well.
Do you ever wonder what happened to America? They lost. We won. Want to see what Trump's up against?
It's time to ride, boys. We need 1,000 Paul Revere's.
When I was a boy, it was okay to be proud of the flag, heritage, mom, and apple pie. And beef was for supper. Revelation, Dawn of Global Government, theatrical screenings on demand, DVDs now available. Starring Alex Jones, Charlie Daniels, Special Ops General Jerry Boykin. Want to shed some tears over the red, white, and blue? Revelation, the movie, .info. Let's fix it.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME11 to 42424.
Listens to the show knows that I'm completely fascinated with this whole idea of going to Mars. And boy, I sure hope that I'm alive to witness the amazing things that can happen. And somebody who shares that passion with me is Chris Carberry. He's the CEO of Explore Mars. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Great, great. Thanks for having me on again.
You know, Mars is getting a lot of exposure because of the show about Mars that I think is so fascinating that's on Nat Geo. I know that you've seen that.
Yeah, it's a great show, you know, and I think it really has highlighted a lot of the more realistic aspects of sending humans to Mars. You know, Nat Geo did that, but there are also a whole bunch of other projects that have come out of Hollywood lately as well. As you know, The Martian last year is another film, The Space Between Us, about the first baby born on Mars. Seems to be a lot of interesting elements developing in the entertainment industry, but all across society, you know, lots of excitement building about the prospects of sending humans to Mars.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this before, but it's a good thing to get out of the way right here in the beginning. There's some doubting Thomases who are listening right now who are saying, why do we need to go to Mars? How much money is that going to cost? And what is that going to do for us here on Earth? To which you would say what?
Well, interestingly, one of the reasons I want to send humans to Mars is because of the benefits here on Earth. You know, it's going to be one of the great events in human history, which will also have a tremendous impact here on Earth. First off, you know, one of the things I like the best, but it's hard to put your finger on, but the national morale and the worldwide morale, it'll really inspire people, and that'll really help inspire the country and move the economy forward. When people feel good about the future, things affect the economy. But the innovations that will come out of it, the inspiration for STEM education, getting people into these fields that really generate our economy, will be motivated by it. And there's a lot of misperception about how much it costs. I'm not saying it's cheap, but by budgetary terms, it is not that expensive. There's a lot of misinformation out there. Some people who oppose it have been saying it's going to cost $1 trillion or more, which is preposterous. You know, NASA's entire budget combined from 1958 until present doesn't even come close to $1 trillion. So we're certainly not going to spend that on Mars. It's actually not going to cost much more than what we're already spending on NASA. So why not spend those funds that we're already spending on something big and bold, where we'll be able to find out some of the mysteries, you know, of the universe in the near term and find out if humans can live on other planets?
Yeah, well said. And there's no way to know that other than to go and explore it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if we ever want to find these things out, we actually have to do it. And I frankly think it's fiscally responsible to actually engage in missions like this, because as I said earlier, we are spending money on NASA. NASA does some great things, but I think we can spend that money more efficiently and in a much more bold manner and do historic things. And I think it's a much more responsible way to spend taxpayer dollars and some commercial dollars as well to actually achieve something great than to continually change our minds and never get anything accomplished, at least, you know, in human spaceflight over the long run.
Yeah. You've got a summit coming up. The 2017 Humans to Mars Summit is May 9th through the 11th. What comes out of this summit? What are some of the speakers and cool things you have going on?
Well, Humans to Mars Summit, you know, this will be the fifth one, and it's turned into the largest conference on Earth focused on sending humans to Mars. And this year is particularly well-timed. You know, it's a few months into this new administration as all these policies are coming together, so we're hoping we'll be able to make a huge impact, you know, to really push the country and the world forward to continue and accelerate this goal of getting humans to Mars by the early 2030s. And so we're going to be having panels talking about, you know, the impact on small businesses around the country. People would be surprised how many small businesses all around the country actually work on space projects. We'll be talking about, once again, as we talked about a few minutes ago, the impact in the entertainment industry, you know, how this is really impacting society, as well as policy, and bringing all these different players together to show this isn't just a small group of companies. This is actually a full societal effort. It's going to impact everybody. So we have people like Buzz Aldrin and high-ranking people in the entertainment industry. We also have one of the actresses who was in the Nat Geo Mars series coming to speak as well. And we're trying to bring as wide a range of people as possible to show the diversity, people and organizations that support and promote this goal.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about the Mars One mission, and you've heard about that, you know, the one-way trip to the Red Planet. And, of course, to land the first Mars colonists on the planet by, 2023. What's really cool, and somebody was telling me this the other day, that Mars One has gotten, 180,000 applications. And it made me wonder, you said Buzz Aldrin. I know that, of course, he's all about space exploration. But do you think there'll be people mostly who have a science background, astronaut-type person, somebody who may be botanist, somebody who, just like the movie The Martian, has something to offer of what you could find out about the Red Planet?
Yeah, I think the initial missions will be those experts. It's going to take some highly skilled specialists going there to figure out if we can actually live. You know, it's not, you know, the Mars One model, you know, while it's kind of cool to think about and it's great that many people applied, that's not particularly feasible. It's not a particularly feasible plan initially. I think eventually we'll send one-way missions to Mars. But I think those first missions, you know, you're going to need some highly trained people who can figure out if we can live, start building up the apparatus to allow a growing number of people to survive on the Martian surface. So So, but eventually, yeah, we'd love to create sustainability on the surface, and eventually, hopefully, that'll lead to, you know, larger settlements. You know, whereas maybe one day people will go one way and people will actually live on Mars and be born on Mars. But first things first, we have to figure out if we can survive on Mars before we start colonizing the planet.
Boy, that's the truth, isn't it? All right, Chris Carberry, thanks so much for stopping by. Always welcome here. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on.
All right, to explain that a little bit further, what I was asking Chris about, it is interesting because any conversation about Mars, I think, is good to keep that conversation out there, right? But this Mars One deal is volunteering for a one-way trip, as I said, to colonize in 2023. They had a big panel discussion about it at the Million Martian meeting in D.C. a couple of years ago, and it was interesting. It's this Dutch nonprofit Mars One trying to land four colonists on the red planet. That was the idea. And what would it take to do that? And Chris is right. Of course, first things first, you got to get the right people up there. But it's just kind of interesting. And like I said, it keeps the conversation out there. And even on Facebook, I checked, there's an Aspiring Martians group, and there's over 2,000 members, I want to say. Don't quote me on the exact number, but it's a lot of people. So all those applicants, it was so interesting to see that there's this optimism about actually, you know, doing it. Can you imagine what it would be like? It's like you think of the giant leap, you know, into history. And imagine, like Neil Armstrong said, imagine the legacy of the first people that would set foot on Mars, who would probably be those people who are, like Chris Carberry says, honestly, the scientists, etc., the NASA people. But it'd be wild just to be the everyday person who had a chance to go to Mars. And you can think of, you know, if you've seen that Nat Geo program, I think they do a fine job of explaining more about Mars. And, of course, the dangers of what you could face on the red planet, who knows? We don't know. And it is, can it be colonized? I mean, gosh, it's wild to expand your mind and think, oh, someone born on Mars? And I wondered in this audience, I mean, I'm really serious about this. Just for a second, think about it. Because remember, we could have had more people in space. Space shuttle travel. If you think of Christy McAuliffe and the fact that, sadly, when the Challenger blew up, those, I think, a lot of the aspirations of let's get somebody else, you know, a teacher or somebody else to go and go on the shuttles with us. If that hadn't turned out that way, who knows where we would be with the everyday person getting a chance to go on some of these missions. But it does make you think, would you do it? Would you take that shot if you had a shot at going into space? And let's say particularly, and this would be for really younger people listening, probably your children, your grandchildren. Can you imagine if they called you up and said, I've got a ticket to go to Mars. I was chosen out of the gazillion people that wanted to go, and I'm going to be there. So it's hard to travel there. What is the temperature like on Mars? What would that exploration be like? And would it be worth the risk for the everyday person? I get the astronaut, I get the types that are schooled in it, but the everyday person, would you take that leap? Because what are the chances of surviving? And the answer to that is we really don't know. So you get, once it's launched and then you go on the journey, we don't know what's going to happen after that. We have no way to know. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side here on America Tonight.
Have you ever wondered as you gazed up at the sky, watching stars like diamonds shining there on high, that somehow in that great unknown, you are not alone. Around that little world of yours, spinning off in space.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 67cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 67cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income and you can get the loan you need now. Regardless of your credit, go to 67cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 67cash.com. Type www.67cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 67cash.com. 67cash.com.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
We've been doing Nail the Score all year long, talking a lot about football. Steve Shenkin joins us. He's the author of a new book called Undefeated, Jim Thorpe and the Carlisle Indian School Football Team. Steve, thanks so much for popping on the show.
Thank you, Kate. I'm really happy to be here.
So I wrote a book called Invade the Man Cave, and I talked a lot about football. And, of course, I do football here in America Tonight and also NBC Sports. I know it's America's game, but I think what people don't know, and you wrote a lot about this, is what football was really like back in the day. So if we go back to the 1900s and talk about athletes and dying while playing football and that kind of thing, what would people be shocked to learn?
A lot of it. I am a lifetime football fan, but I was shocked. I mean, the game was like all-out brawling, kind of like loosely organized combat. And there was no, in the early days, you talk about the late 18, early 1900s, no passing allowed. So it was just the biggest, burliest dudes with one running play after another. Basically, two groups of 11 guys would just group together and then smash into each other over and over and over again. And fans couldn't really even see the ball because they would wind up in these giant pileups where people would punch each other, pull each other's hair. And it isn't a joke because, you said it, I mean, kids were dying. And it reached kind of this really crisis point. 1905, 19 players died playing football.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I mean, as dangerous as it is today, and rightfully we're arguing and debating about it, but back then it was really on the tipping point of being banned entirely.
Yeah, and, you know, people don't realize this now when we talk about equipment. Equipment was so different. Of course it was different then, but the helmets compared to what they wore then and what they wore now. And plus, is it true you didn't really have to wear a helmet?
Not at all, no. One of the main characters in this book is Pop Warner, who's famous today mainly, I guess his name is known with youth football leagues, but he was a great coach, very innovative, and the coach of the Carlisle Indian School football team, which is what this book is about. But he played his college days at Cornell, and he called his helmet was no helmet at all. He called it football hair. There's a great picture of him with his big, puffy, curly hair. And he said, that's my helmet. This is what guys did to protect their head, which is, it sounds crazy.
Wow, no kidding. So how did Jim Thorpe and Pop Warner, how did they know each other? How did that relationship all happen?
Yeah, that's what's really electric about this story, is that these two incredibly different, dynamic people come together. Jim was a Native American kid from Oklahoma who hated school, and eventually his dad sent him all the way to Pennsylvania to this boarding school called Carlisle in Pennsylvania. And they had gotten together a football team and were just starting to make a little noise, get a little bit good, when Pop Warner showed up and started coaching them. But what really happened was when it all came together, when Pop got the team going, they were starting to be a little creative, which nobody else was doing then. And then the greatest athlete in the world, though in the form of a skinny teenager who no one knows is the greatest athlete, shows up there. And then that's that marriage. When they get together, then magical things start happening.
When you say magical things start happening, people really get involved in the game. People really start paying attention, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say they saved the game. It's just the timing is one of those things you couldn't make up. But Jim started playing in 1907, which was just when they changed the rules. The only reason they allowed passing was to try and save the game. And at the time, President Teddy Roosevelt got involved. He loved football. It didn't bother him at all that people were getting hurt playing, because he thought, oh, that's manly, that's good. But he did see that people were going to ban the game. So he pushed colleges to reform, and they did, and they allowed passing, and they created an end zone and all these things that we know today. But that was just as Jim showed up. And so rules on a piece of paper are one thing, but this is the team that invented modern football.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. In reading your book, certainly you lay that out in the characters. There's no question about it. Do you think that Jim Thorpe is one of the greatest football players of all time, if you go back in his time?
I think he has to be. I like those arguments, too, although I know it's impossible to compare one era to another. But he, he was like something no one had ever seen. And it happened right from his first tryout. He walked on the field. And he had a combination of speed, agility, and power that you just never see in one person. When I was a kid, it was Bo Jackson. Remember Bo Jackson, who could
just
do everything?
Me too, Bo knows.
And he would play baseball and climb up a wall in baseball, and then he would play football. And he was both stronger and faster than everybody. That was Jim in his time.
Boy, no kidding. He was just an all-around great athlete, pretty much anything. I bet even if you were to transport him to today, I think he would somehow assimilate into whatever the sport was. He was just an all-around good athlete, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He could do anything. And he even went to the Olympics in 1912, which is when he was essentially would it be kind of like between junior and senior year in college equivalent, and competed in track and field. And he won 2 gold medals. And the pinnacle of the Olympics in those days was the decathlon, you know, where you do 10 different events.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is he had never even done some of them. He was fast and he was good at track, but he had never thrown a javelin or a shot put. He just kind of showed up and saw how people were doing it. And nobody took him seriously, just like the team. Nobody thought he could compete, and he just went in there and just dominated and won gold medals. And that was when the whole world realized, okay, this is hands down the best athlete in the world.
Yeah, and on Pop Warner's side of it, just did Pop Warner have the foresight to know that this sport was something and that it would grow and get bigger, and did he just know that?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, he loved football. He's an interesting character in his own right. His dad wanted him to be a lawyer, and so he went to Cornell and trained as a lawyer, but he hated it. He thought it was so boring. And so he kind of drifted back to coaching football. And I just think, I'm not sure if he thought it was going to be a big deal. He just, it called to him. You know, he had played, he wasn't great, but he saw, wait a minute, what if we don't do the same old boring thing over and over again? What if I pretend to go this way and then go the other way? There's that light bulb moment that seems so obvious, but the idea of running reverses was, it's just no one had done it before. And so he brought a creativity and artistry almost to it that was definitely brand new.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about the Olympics, and in your book, you have actually a picture of, you have lots of pictures in the book, which is great, because it comes alive for you in reading the book, Undefeated. You've got what was in the paper, and one of them says, Jim Thorpe, professional, pleads guilty to charge. So what happened was, he had to be, once he was called a professional, he had to return prizes and money, well, money essentially, right?
Yeah, this was the hugest scandal of the time in sports. You know, way bigger than Tom Brady deflating footballs or anything like that. I mean, it was the equivalent of that, but it was much bigger, really, and much sadder. He had won these medals fair and square, but Jim, like so many athletes and college-age kids, had played summer baseball in a semi-pro league. He made, you know, $20 a month or something, but it was a summer job, essentially. And so many kids from Ivy League schools did this and then went to play Olympics or compete in so-called amateur track and field. And it was no problem. But when Jim got, quote-unquote, caught doing it, because he had never hidden from doing it, he used his own name. You could look at the box scores from this North Carolina league he played in. And it was a very small time. But he got caught doing it. And, yeah, it became a huge scandal. Look at the papers from those days. It dominates the news. And he was forced to return. They basically stripped him of his gold medals.
Wow. I mean, crazy to think of. I mean, now they kind of straightened up those lines of what is professional money, et cetera, because it started, you know, back in those days, you know, he wasn't making a lot of money. It wasn't a lot of money whatsoever. It was money to survive, basically. And we know football players had crazy off-season jobs. I mean, they worked when they were playing.
Yeah, that's the other tough thing about Jim. In addition to this, which was really, I mean, you have to, you know, the race was clearly a factor in this controversy. But beyond that, he could have, today at least, even without medals, made a fortune playing football. But there was no NFL back then. There was no professional football yet. And so he went to play professional baseball, which he was good at, but it wasn't his thing. You know, it wasn't his gift. But he was good enough to play on the Giants and a bunch of teams for a few years. But you're right, he never made a fortune doing that. And then when pro football started, he got into that. And he's already 30 at this point, which, you know, for a running back, that's a grandpa. That's old. So he still had a little bit of the magic, but it was not the same anymore. But he played into his late 30s. But as you say, never made a good living doing that.
Yeah. Wow. Pick it up. You can pick it up at Amazon, I'm sure. Steve Shenkin, the book is called Undefeated, Jim Thorpe and the Carlisle Indian School Football Team. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Kate. It's been really fun.
Paid monetary spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads...